Live from the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, the only local show taking a principled stand on the issues of the day.
This is how it happens. It's the natural process of things.
The view of the entrenched is predictable, but it's also erroneous.
With Sean Seacrease.
We have an addiction in this country, not only to government welfare and government handouts, but more fundamentally, to other people's money.
And Quaid.
Again, you're dancing with government.
This is the Morning Meeting.
You cannot continue to advocate for status quo when status quo has run the ship aground.
On Talk Radio 930, WTAD.
Graphic evidence of four more years. And that's just the tip of the iceberg as the DNC gets ready to gavel in their convention in Philly later today. Good morning. Sean Seacrease, Quaid, alongside you this morning. Jim Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, on the way. It has been a veritable docudrop at thegatewaypundit.com last night and this morning, Quaid.
Jim's top headlining post is a link to, and obviously he's not going through the thousands. Maybe he did go through all of them. I don't know. But he only put up links to several dozen, but there's a lot of info that he has made available at thegatewaypundit.com. I can't wait to talk to him about it.
We're going to get into all this morning on the Morning Meeting, including another email scandal rocking the Democrat Party as the DNC opens up their week-long party this week. This one only tertiarily to do with Hillary, but she is nonetheless involved. We'll break down the early campaign signs for Hillary for president and tell you why they reveal where she's going on the trail. And we'll figure out whether or not the Democrat Party will look the same at the end of this week. It's all coming up this morning here on the Morning Meeting. Unfortunately, we're going to have to break this cycle sometimes. I'm starting to dread Mondays. Because it seems that every time we start a show, we've got another catastrophe, assault against humanity, another idiot. And by the way, in my world, I am as equal opportunity for idiots as it gets. I believe idiots know no gender, no race, no nationality, no IQ level. You have idiots from every walk of life.
What you just said was
unambiguous as it gets.
Yeah.
No, they can come from anywhere. If you remember, I think it was Ratatouille, the movie, where they had... Anyone can cook. That doesn't mean everyone can cook, but a great cook can come from anywhere.
Sure.
That's the same way I think about idiots. Not everyone's an idiot, but an idiot can come from literally any background.
So essentially what you're saying is don't be surprised.
Never be surprised. Two people were killed and as many as 17, one of them just 12 years old, wounded when gunfire erupted at a teen swim party in Florida early this morning.
Was that Fort Myers?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, Josh nodding his head that Fort Myers.
Police have two in custody. That's all we know at this time. They have not said if they believe one to be the shooter.
Apparently it didn't happen inside the club. It was a teen night. It didn't happen. It was at the end.
Yep.
It was outside the club. It's at a strip mall. They think that it's gang related and that there's a secondary site where gunplay was involved and some cars were shot up. But yeah, two dead, 16 shot.
Two dead, 16 wounded. Yeah, that's at least the early news. A 12-year-old.
And that's just here in the United States.
Oh, yeah. You had a guy who was seeking asylum blow himself up.
Yeah.
Was that in Germany where that happened?
The wine bar.
That's just... I don't want to say it makes the political process here, which we are undergoing, the most intense scrutiny, because that's always what you get when you go to elect... essentially the CEO of government in America because of the dollars spent, because of the national profile, for many, many reasons. I would say this makes it as important as it's ever been to make sure you can get leadership that you're confident in, leadership that realizes what you want out of this country, leadership that represents at least the majority of your views. Now, some might say, well, there's nobody up that represents that for me. And I felt like that before.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to find somewhere to go, because a protest vote of staying home does not add to the discourse going on about where this country is going. You abstaining does not add to the process, because you're not sending some grand message. You're just empowering someone whose beliefs fall further away from yours to start leading the country further away from where you think it should go.
Is this different from when you, and by you I mean you, Sean, decide that you're going to write your own name in as the write-in candidate?
It is, and only because those write-in candidates are not officially, when you go through a presidential nomination a process, you have to be recognized as a candidate for that office for those votes to count for you. So if you, I haven't submitted myself yet,
mm-hmm.
so I won't be voting for myself this time around.
Wait, but and for those of you who don't understand my reference point, on a previous show, Sean shared with everybody that when push came to shove in the past, if he didn't like his choices on the ballot, mm-hmm. he just wrote his own name down.
That's right. Don't never be afraid to represent yourself and believe that you can get to the bottom of something. Remember, it was just last week where I solved the problem of school choice in Illinois in 3 minutes.
But you're not on the ballot.
I am not registered as an official candidate for this one. You have to have that for the presidential.
So even if people don't write their own name down, they write your name down.
Right.
You're telling them not to
now,
do that in this case.
That's a protest vote. That's a protest vote right there. You could really send a message if 4 or 5 people voted for me. I'm being ironic, of course.
But you're not...
They would be, it's tantamount to throwing your vote away. It's tantamount to what I'm going to try to make into a verb. It's tantamount to Mark Kirking.
So
what happened with that? He kirked it. I think that's something we need to come to terms with here.
We've now turned his name into
Illinois.
A verb.
Yes, because he said he was off of General Petraeus last week. Mark Kirk made the announcement that he's now backing retired General Colin Powell, even though he's not on the ballot.
Look,
so that would be him writing in Colin Powell will have as much impact and will be counted just as much as when Quaid goes and writes my name down. So please don't Kirk your vote.
By the way, Mark Kirk will change that.
Yeah.
Probably. I'm going to say weekly, but whatever algorithm they've come up with for him to maximize the media cycle, that will change, I'm going to say, probably another, 4 or 5 times?
If that's their plan, they need a new campaign manager.
Well, there's a lot to that, but yeah. Don't think that Kirk isn't using that as a plan, even though Sean poo-poos it and says he's equal to Colin Powell as a write-in vote.
Because neither one of us are registered as a candidate for president. All right? He's probably more qualified than me to do some things. I'm more qualified than him to do some things. But neither vote's getting you anywhere this time around.
Okay.
So there you go. Don't Kirk your vote. We're going to make that happen.
We'll stick with that.
I like it. Coming up this morning on the morning meeting, Jim Hoft, the Gateway Pundit. And we'll start to do some pre-DNC dissection coming up next. And an email and conversational exchange that I had with my father over the weekend, and how it was eerily similar to one retired military member that I also had dinner with over the weekend. And why I think our country might be in trouble based on what both of them said. Coming up this morning here on The Morning Meeting.
Where we go, others will follow.
That's who we are.
Even if it's not the best idea.
The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
This is Mark Levin, and you're listening to The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
the morning meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sean Seacrest, Quaid alongside you. 16 minutes till the Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoff. He has returned from Cleveland and is ready to break down the DNC convention that gavels in this afternoon. We'll get a head start on that. I want to start looking ahead to that, though. There are a couple of things that we can sort of lay the foundation for before we bring Jim on.
Wait, is Jim in Philadelphia?
I don't think he's going to Philly.
Okay.
Based on our texting last week, he's not going
okay.
to Philly.
All right.
So I think he's back at the Gateway Pundit lavish headquarters today.
Or
by
the
way,
or
the did
outpost
you see
the
Uncle? Did Uncle, you see the Twitter spat?
Yeah. Well, it was.
We're gonna talk about this with Jim.
Okay. All right.
Now we have had both. So Jim Hoft got into a little Twitter spat with Dana Loesch, who we've had on this show.
Mm-hmm. And both from St. Louis.
That was my comment back to the person who sent that to us was, hey, back up. It's kind of like Civil War. You got to back up. These are two proud St. Louisans mm-hmm. going at it. Only the winner gets Ted Drews.
Longtime friends. Both appeared here at the Lincoln's Legacy event, mm-hmm. Which kind of launched the Tea Party movement here in Quincy and St. Louis. The St. Louis Tea Party delegation came up, Jim and Dana, part of that. Both of them spoke at that event, which we broadcast here on WT80 way back in, geez, that was mm-hmm. 2009. I don't know if I would call it a spat. Jim, of course, very pro-Trump, has been for the last year. Dana, not, I'm going to say not as pro-Trump, but not Trump at all. Remember, Dana works with Glenn Beck's Mercury Entertainment group, and Beck, not part of the people backing Trump. Jim, in a post, in a tweet, kind of took a shot at Ted Cruz, but that's mm-hmm. nothing new.
No,
and Dana took exception to that post, and I believe, I'm going to quote, called him an awful person, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
According to the post, she was essentially chagrined at having ever known him. This is a full-on digital catfight.
I will be surprised if he says anything other than, look, we just disagree on Donald Trump.
And I would expect that.
We do agree on 95% of everything else. And I think they do. You know, sometimes friends don't see eye to eye on things. If he gives us anything more than that, I'll be surprised.
That coming up with Jim Hoff just about 10 minutes from now here on the morning meeting. The next time that we hear from IA, she's got something interesting that she's working on. Mm-hmm. And it's a derivative of a question that has been fairly common in this presidential election cycle. Are you pro-Trump or pro-Hillary?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not really either, are you voting for one or the other based on being anti-Hillary or anti-Trump? I was able to talk with, I talked to my dad over the weekend. Okay. He sent me some long, crazy email yesterday morning. It was like, not him going crazy, but it was one of those that makes the rounds during political seasons. It was sort of the quotes, oh, this person's crazy. And these top 20 quotes will show you why they should never hold
okay,
on.
So he just
you can do that for any.
Forwarded something to you. Okay.
You can do that for any. I could do that
he
for.
He didn't originate.
I could do that for Mayor Moore if I wanted to set out and do it, right? I never would. He's been an excellent mayor. But you could do this for anyone. So I just giggle when I see things like that. And I'm going through and thinking, and this is what stuck out to me, was that if you're on the left or you're a real progressive, like you believe all these things are bad things. I'm going, half of them, I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. I remember that. Tremendous. You know, and he's not, and we talked about this with Craig Robinson on Friday. You have to judge Trump for what he is and what he isn't. He's not a great orator. He's not, you know, he's not gifted with words, but he gets his point across, and I think he does it in a very grokkable way. But when it comes to casting a vote, they are not they're in that anti-Trump camp. They're not really pro-Hillary, but
right.
They think that basically the devil they know is better than the devil they don't.
It is.
And they're afraid. When I had dinner with a friend of mine who's a veteran on Friday night, he's relocating, and it was kind of my last time to buy him beer and chicken wings, and we got to talking about this. And he said, you know what, I only trusted, this was his exact quote, I only trust Hillary 2%, but I don't know what Donald would do, and I don't know if he's trustworthy at all, so I got to back Hillary. I thought, wow, that is some crazy effed up logic right there. And he said, look, you're just not, he's bought into the whole temperament argument. He believes the portrayal of Trump in the media that we can't let him put his finger on the button, even though Hillary will sell it to the Chinese, for in exchange for having a steak dinner. So, you know, this is, I thought it was very interesting the way both have bought into perceptions, and especially the conversation with my dad, because he's always been more of a centrist.
I haven't really gotten that from you when you reference things with your dad, and maybe it's only because it's through the prism of the show.
Right.
But
everything's got to have some entertainment value, and he's down with that. But I didn't think that Trump would grab him necessarily from the jump, but he has voted Republican before. And like I said, he's a centrist most of the time, but he's bought into the idea that Trump is some unstable monster that's been portrayed by the liberal media. So I just think it's interesting running up face-to-face with some of these perceptions and people who don't do this on the day-to-day basis that we do it on, and sort of what they're left with and what the trickle-down message is.
Yeah, what you have, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to everybody because we're all living it, is not the what's your motivation for this national election. And this is kind of the charge we've given intern Addie for her next project is, are people more pro a presidential candidate or anti? And is that the motivating factor? Are you not necessarily, you're not jazzed, because we already know there isn't really an appetite for Hillary. So what she's got to be able to do is cobble people together who are more against Donald Trump, and then she's the beneficiary of that. That's really not, if you're putting together a campaign, that's not what you want. You want people to be excited about you and moving forward.
You want people jazz hands in for you.
But at this point in time, I think that's pretty much what the Hillary campaign's got to go on.
If you step back and look at the bigger picture, though, what is Trump running as? Trump's running as the anti-establishment candidate.
Right.
So that's another reason why this cycle has been so interesting, because in the past, you've said candidates have laid out their vision for what we're going to do and follow me and I'll take you there. And it was very, get on board with my ideology, my train moving forward. Both of these candidates are running and trying to piece together coalitions that are just anti the other person.
Yeah,
when you get outside their core group of supporters and you assemble a wider electorate, their pitch to the voters is, don't trust that one. Not necessarily, I'm going to do all these things, and because Hillary's had it, she's had both sides of the coin so many times, the coin is a dodecahedron.
Mm.
So you can't really understand or even follow what she's saying or believe what she's saying, but her message is, well, Trump's a little crazy. You're going to have to vote for me. Not I'm going to do anything you want me to do. She's going to continue the big government, centrist planning, leftist dream of redistribution through excessive taxing. She's going to do all those things. But he might be a little crazy. He's not the way we've always done it.
Mm.
So you're going to have to vote for me. And conversely, he's saying, look, if you're unhappy with the way we've always done it, just vote for me. I'll figure it out as I go along. So it's interesting. I would love to talk with, after the fact is over, some political science people who will say, really look at how different this election cycle was, because in my mind, it's the first one that I can remember where the main platform thrust for both candidates is, well, if you don't want that, vote for me.
Right. Well, you have both of them in a way, they understand that there is widespread dissatisfaction with the current state of things. Now, you have one side that hasn't, technically been in power. I mean, they've been in control of Capitol Hill for the last couple of years in total, but they haven't had the presidency for 8 years. So you have one side that is grasping that, if you'll allow me to borrow from Homer Stokes, reform candidate. and you have the other side, which understands that there's widespread dissatisfaction, but also understands that they've kind of been the ones at the controls. especially when you look at the executive branch, who has kind of worked around the legislative branch and gone, well, if they're not going to work with me, I'll just do an end around them and make some presidential decrees. So you have, a candidacy now who's on that side and was part of that administration trying to find a way to embrace that dissatisfaction or motivate that dissatisfaction to their side. It's quite fascinating. But yeah, there is some, oh brother, where art thou, going on just a little bit.
I want to break down the inaugural images that each campaign rolled out as far as showing the top of the ticket with the vice presidential pick. You had the TP for Trump Pence, and that was decried as misogynist because the stem for the T was, quote, piercing the whole of the P.
Right.
So that was, people went crazy with that.
It wasn't Hillary, just interlocking.
Yeah.
It was apparently supposed to be suggested. And I'll be honest, I didn't see it until I was told.
I didn't either, and I'm a
pervert. That's what it was.
I mean,
yes, you are.
If I'm not seeing it, I think you're reaching a little far. Now, Hillary rolls hers out. She announced with Tim Kaine, and it had the H for Hillary. And so you have the two vertical bars and then the horizontal bar that connects the H.
With the arrow
and
moving
it was
to the
arrow.
Right.
Yes. Now, see, this is it. This is physical iconography and representation. She is what? Doubling down on Obama's last message of forward. That's the arrow for forward. She is once again hitching her wagon to his star, saying, I basically am looking to be the third term of the Obama administration here. They're doubling down on that. And this is something else that you may want to sort of use to put the landscape that we're about to be talking about into perspective when it comes to the far leftist progressive agenda that's about to be showcased in Philadelphia. Norman Solomon, he is a delegate from California who went on the record yesterday as people started to gather in Philly saying that Hillary picking a, quote, centrist like Kaine is an assault on the liberal progressive agenda. So that just gives you an idea of some of the mindset that you're going to be looking at this week. Kaine is too milquetoast, too willing to go along and get along and get things done. He's not a culture warrior out there on the Mother Jones fringe pushing that liberal leftist agenda.
But
and so they're upset. They're selling out. Democrat Party selling out. By the way, not with Debbie Wasserman Schultz anymore because she can't control her emails. Mm. And yet in a Walking Dead moment, they're still going to let her preside over the convention.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
Her resignation is post-convention. We're going to get into all this with Jim Hoft in detail coming up next. Strap in. It's going to get fun this week here on The Morning Meeting.
Giving conservatives a voice in the tri-states.
I mean, this stuff moves people.
It's The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. WTAD.
The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sean Seacrest, Quaid alongside you in this corner, this digital corner anyway. Jim Hoft, the Gateway Pundit. Jim, you usually aren't the kind to bring a whole lot of personal fire on social media, and yet here I see that you are having a disagreement or maybe incited a disagreement with fellow St. Louis personality Dana Loesch. What's going on there, bud?
Oh, my. I didn't know that spread around as widely as you're saying it is.
Well, it's on social media.
This happened last week after the Ted Cruz speech, and I was just pointing out that there have been several people who have stood next to Ted Cruz, and they may want to pretend like they were not in his corner, as some of these people did. But it's pretty clear that these Never Trumpers and Dana, along with several others, have been against Trump from the beginning and have been supporting Ted Cruz after You know, and then we saw that amazing episode last week where he refused to endorse Donald Trump at the convention. So, yeah.
Now a difference of ideology is just fine, and we can discuss that. But she got a little personal, Jim. Is there a history there? I didn't know that you two had had beef previously.
Well, you know what's interesting? Dana, of course, was a good friend of mine. And then this year, you know, as politics developed, I supported Trump right off the bat. Basically,
yep.
I saw this mass, broad appeal this guy has. I saw that he was speaking about things that, you know, I never dreamed would ever get discussed in this country, like building a wall or blocking Muslims from coming into the country. I mean, who would have predicted that those would be two, you know, items that we'd be discussing in the 2016 election? So I was enthralled with Donald Trump, you know, back in 2015. Unfortunately, Dana and her husband, they wrote me a text and said that we could no longer be friends because I supported Donald Trump. So I don't have much contact with Dana. She blocked me from Twitter, so I don't even know what she was saying about me.
Wow.
But it was kind of a nasty turn, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, that's how politics is these days, I guess.
That's unfortunate, because I would tend to believe that you and Dana have the same perspective on 95%+ of things, Jim.
I think so. Yep. And, you know, this will probably work itself out. Usually, you know, things like this usually, you know, I think the party comes back together. What was interesting, though, guys, this year was that a lot of the online pundits really strongly disagreed with Donald Trump. I was one of the, you know, I'm going to say the few that stood by Donald Trump and that saw that he was this unique candidate, wildly popular, was bringing in voters, you know, that have not been out in years. So I supported him from the beginning. But a lot of these online pundits, you know, they haven't. And a few of them still don't. I don't. You know, it's really mind-boggling too, because websites like The Right Scoop and Red State, which, you know, historically have been these you know, conservative news outlets, I don't know what they're going to do if Trump wins or even if he loses. They're most of their focus today is just anti-Trump, so they really joined the Hillary camp, and it's just, you know, it's a bit confusing watching these people, and I have no idea of what they're going to report on after this election.
Jim Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, with us this morning on the morning meeting. They're about to gavel in for the DNC convention in Philly in just a few hours. On the back end of Hillary stating this Sunday, she feels like the media is arrayed against her, that there is a standard, one standard for everyone else, and a Hillary standard for her, in which people attack her with, let's see, what words did she use? Unfounded, inaccurate, and mean-spiritedness. Jim, are you steering as clear from that water that she's apparently drinking as I am?
You know, isn't that amazing? Every time she gets caught in a scandal, breaking the law, lying, she lashes out at someone else. She lashes out at the public. She lashes out at the right-wing conspiracy. This is a woman who is certifiably a sociopath. There's no conscience there. The fact that she's lashing out at other people now after these emails came out, it's unbelievable. For the record, I saw the movie this weekend, the Hillary movie by Dinesh D'Souza.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I hope that your audience goes and sees it, because he describes in the movie exactly what we just saw with Hillary. How she persecutes people, she lies, she cheats, she steals money, and then when she gets caught, she lashes out at someone else. So this was scripted right in the movie, and now we're seeing it live here on the stage and on 60 Minutes last night with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
things never change with this woman.
Jim, I saw that. There is a community in Florida where Democratic leaders are trying to, it's a retirement community, trying to get them to stop showing the movie, because their assumption is it's going to make people distrust and angry at Democrats. And Dinesh responded on social media saying, really, is that freedom of speech? You want to stop showing a movie because it's going to have people looking a little sideways at Democrats now that this word is out. I think this is straight from the liberal playbook. It's okay to say whatever about your opponent, but censorship when it comes to any dissenting opinion on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. This is what the Democrats have to do. This movie was devastating. And if you'll notice, the critics, the editorialists from the different papers who reviewed this movie gave it like a 0 to 5, okay? The audience who's seen it gives it a 80 to 95% approval. So, of course, we have this huge disconnect between the liars in the Democrat media and the people who view this movie. And the facts line up. This isn't anything that's propaganda. This isn't anything that was made up. These are facts from the Democrat past that they do not want to look at. And, again, it just shows the corruption, the evil players, the pro-slavery roots of this radical party that's the Democrat Party today.
Shouldn't be surprised at that at all, Jim. The media in lockstep, or at least willing to be manipulated by the DNC and vis-a-vis Hillary's campaign. Should we be surprised that the critics gave it such a low score if they're in lockstep together?
You know what's interesting, guys, is that even with the WikiLeaks scandal this past weekend, all the documents that were dumped on Friday, we see in those documents that in some of these emails, these reporters were going to the DNC to get the DNC's approval for their reports before they published them for the masses. So they're in total cahoots. Andrew Breitbart used to say that it's a Democrat media complex, and he nailed it. It's that's all it is one big group of cheerleaders supporting Hillary.
Jim Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, with us this morning on the Morning Meeting. If you want to check out that docudump, Jim has the link to the WikiLeaks release up at thegatewaypundit.com. Check him out there, thegatewaypundit.com. Jim, this was interesting, and I brought this up just before we went to break because this, in my mind, sets up the foundation of what we're going to be watching this week, sort of the foundational mindset. Norman Solomon is a delegate for the DNC convention from California. He gave voice to a section of the Democrat Party that is upset with Hillary Clinton's pick of Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia as her vice presidential running mate because, quote, Kaine is an assault on the progressive agenda. Picking a centrist like that sets us back. So this is the mindset that you're going to see on display this week, the liberal, progressive, what I call the Mother Jones left, out doing their thing. And now with the email scandal, no, not the Hillary email scandal, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz email scandal that revealed that the fix really was in from the beginning, from the top down in the Democrat Party, that they wanted Hillary. And I'm not so sure that I blame them for that, because it's got to be tough, even in the more liberal media-friendly America that we have now, to run an avowed socialist. That would have been a tough sell to the American public. But it turns out the fix was in, and they had lied about that the whole time as well. This is going to lead Wasserman Schultz to step down after the DNC convention this week. So you kind of have dead chairperson administrating all week this week. Jim, this is going to be fascinating to me.
Oh, I think so too, guys. I had an opportunity to go to the DNC convention. I was at the RNC last week. Mm-hmm. And, I decided against it. It just is too unpredictable this year. And, of course, I don't have the allies at the DNC convention that I did at the RNC. So it could be a pretty crazy show. In fact, the first press conference this morning with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she addressed the Florida delegation. And, of course, the Bernie people were waving signs and waving email signs to stand for this WikiLeaks scandal. So this could get really crazy this week.
Here's the thing, at the end of the day, and I haven't heard anybody bring this up yet, but what this exposes, Jim, is that the DNC, and I guess the Hillary campaign itself, doesn't really believe that she could even win the nomination without tipping the scales in her favor.
Even with all the superdelegates.
Well, I think superdelegates were part of the fix coming in. But what it shows is that there isn't any confidence, even within the party, that the infrastructure, that she could do it all by herself.
And you know what? She barely did. She's an awful candidate. She has no energy. She lies, you know, continuously. She sucks the energy out of her room. She's boring. She's just an awful, awful candidate. And Democrats are going to have a hard time with Hillary. I read something this morning that said that the FBI director Comey, by not charging Hillary, he did Republicans a favor because she's the worst candidate that they could run this year. And so by her not being jailed, he actually did the Republicans a favor.
Be careful how low you set the bar, though, because if she can't be beat even with that low of a bar, America might need to see a collective psychologist.
How can Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she's got a post date for being ousted as chairperson. Mm-hmm. How can she,
like,
and she's already
been
hired. I mean, almost immediately after she resigned, she got hired by the Clinton campaign. So how could she?
She was obviously stumping for them the whole time as the chairwoman.
But that's been exposed. So how could she stand up in front of everybody now, knowing that as soon as this is over, she's going to go to work for the campaign? It's a circus, Jim. How are they going to accept that?
Oh, yeah, isn't it? I mean, what a show. It's just unbelievable. And the fact that they get away with these lies and just continue on like nothing happened. I mean, are Americans ever going to wake up to this nonsense? I hope this is the year.
One post-RNC convention question, because there was a lot of talk about planned protest, astroturfing of protesters and events in Cleveland, Jim, and it didn't really seem to happen. Was it actually going on, or was it just not reported? You were there. You said you were going to go out and see some of these things. Were there protests? Was it really not hardly anything at all?
You know what? It was really strange. It was a strange thing. The protests, you know, of course, we've seen protesters get more violent at a Trump rally than they did in at the Trump convention. It really fizzled out. I suspect, and this is just a hunch, but I'm wondering if they called off all their dogs because the police shootings, and they figured that they, you know, the American public would really turn against Democrats when they burned the Republican convention down. So that's what I think, maybe, but it really didn't materialize. I had people on the street all week, and they, for the most part, they just didn't have a lot to report on. So, you know, thank God, that's a good thing. But it was kind of strange because, these Democrats, they love their protests, and they love to get their paid protesters out there. So something happened. I'm just not sure what it was yet.
Well, one of the things, and I'm going to point to your website, thegatewaypundit.com, when you've got some of the links to the document dump that WikiLeaks put out there, was that the usual suspects didn't turn their people out. So some were, I guess, some people in the DNC were sending interns. And that's not what interns do. Interns aren't professional agitators.
Something? Right. So they're paying their interns to go protest against Trump. It's really unbelievable.
Jim Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, with us this morning on the Morning Meeting. Jim, one final takeaway from your experience at the RNC convention in Cleveland last week.
I thought it was a great success walking away from it. We had that little bump in the road when Ted Cruz made a scene. But I think overall, you know, his children were flawless, and Donald Trump gave an amazing speech. The people who finally get to hear Donald Trump instead of reading the liberal media, they actually gave him like a 70% approval on his speech. So it was very effective.
Jim Hoff, The Gateway Pundit. Check out that docu-dump at thegatewaypundit.com, as well as several other things, as Jim's going to be following the DNC convention all week this week. Jim, thanks so much, bud. Glad you're back safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys, have a good week.
We'll wrap it up next with an unbelievable admission of who's voting for Trump next on the Morning Meeting.
Where we go, others will follow.
That's who we are.
Even if it's not the best idea.
The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and you're listening to The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
It's The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sean Seacrest, Squay, just a few minutes left. Benny out, Illinois Watchdog, coming up manana here on The Morning Meeting. We'll see if his vote's going to be kirked. This is almost unbelievable. You know President Obama has the Kenyan half-brother, right? The Kenyan half-brother has admitted he's voting for Trump this fall.
Yeah, I saw something about
this
that.
This was interesting. Malik Obama sent this, I think, to the Washington Post. He has a, quote, deep disappointment in the current administration that's led him to switch allegiances to the, quote, party of Lincoln. Well, yeah, he said the last straw, and this is interesting. This is the group that I think is in play for Trump. He said the last straw was when FBI Director James Comey recommended not prosecuting Hillary Clinton over her abusive use of private email services, private email servers, and putting top secret information at risk when she was the guardian of it. I think there's a subset of people out there who are like-minded.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of looked at that and saw it for what it was, that there was, as Hillary likes to say, a different set of rules for her than mm-hmm. for everybody else.
Sure. All right, this poor guy doesn't know how hush money works. An attorney for Denny Hastert, now jailed, is asking a judge to dismiss a lawsuit that was brought against Hastert by someone who is seeking the outstanding payments he was supposed to get for hush money.
Wait a minute.
I don't think that dude knows how the system works. Yes, he says, I was promised this hush money. And since Hastert has been brought up on charges and convicted, I'm not getting my hush money anymore.
Because of the hush money.
Yeah, he just wants the money. That's not how hush money works. Once it's public,
there's no
more hush money.
If there's no hush, there's no money.
Yeah. All right. It's the world we live in. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Morning Meeting.
Morning Meeting adjourned. Join us again tomorrow for the best talk in the tri-states. The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.